You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Confederate History Month. There exists no other radio audience in the world like that which the Political Cesspool can boast, and I'm so very proud that we're able to continue to work together in order to make a positive impact in the hearts and minds of our people. This is an incredible feat that would not be possible if it were not for you, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a fact. We're the only radio show in the world that celebrates Confederate History Month. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, those of you who contributed at a level in March to qualify for our incentive packages should have by now received from us a very special gift package, including our official Political Cesspool T-shirt, which is, of course, emblazoned with the Confederate flag. We hope that you'll accept these gifts along with our most sincere appreciation for your support of our groundbreaking work. And keep in mind that the beautiful T-shirt that you received in your package if you donated $100 or more in March was made possible thanks to our good friend Scott at Dixie Republic, DixieRepublic.com. And as we continue to celebrate Confederate History Month for the next couple of weeks, I ask that you consider doing a little shopping at DixieRepublic.com. There you will find a variety of Southern-themed merchandise, including clothing, caps, belt buckles, patches, flags, T-shirts, license plate, and miscellaneous items like mugs and stickers and Zippo lighters, etc. Every customer is a happy customer at Dixie Republic. You've heard those commercials for Dixie Republic on our show for years now, but they've got a great shop, DixieRepublic.com, as it is Confederate History Month. Check it out. Thank you again, dear friends, for your friendship support. I look forward to securing many more victories with you in the coming months and years. The amount of appreciation and respect that we have for you is immeasurable. Now, Eddie, explain to the audience what we have here with us every night when we broadcast this groundbreaking show.
You know, this is great.
What are you holding in your hand? And what Eddie is holding in his hand right now, I know this is radio, not television, so I'm looking at it. You're hearing us talk about it. I'm actually looking at Eddie hold this in his hand. This was sent to me by a listener of the Political Cesspool, Todd, right here in the Memphis area. Todd sent this to me a couple of years ago, and ever since then, every show we've done, this has been in the studio with us. What is it, Eddie?
You know, as much as Todd loves us.
Oh, hang on, Eddie. I got to turn your mic on. That would help. And so now you're on. Eddie, tell us what
it is. As much as we love people like Todd, as much as he loves us, I still am kind of surprised anyone would send us this valuable of artifact. It says, it's got a picture of a horseman, a soldier, cavalryman, on this steel, this iron plate. It looks like it covers an ancient water pipe. It's inscribed on it in very, very beautiful writing. The Confederate States of America, 22nd February, 1822. And down here, it's...
What it says in Latin is Deo Vindice.
Deo Vindice. I have no clue what that means, but I'm sure it had to be good.
And I'll tell you what it means in just a second. But what does it mean? You are holding in your hand the great seal of the Confederate States, displaying the motto Deo Vindice. And that was sent to us by a listener right here in the Memphis area. It was sent 2 or 3 years ago, and we've had it
incredible
in the studio with us for every show since then. And it is a very heavy-duty, I don't even know, what material would you say that's made of?
I'd say cast iron.
Cast iron, yeah.
Cast iron. Same thing that an engine block's made out of.
And Deo Vindice was the motto. That was the official motto of the Confederate States of America. It was engraved on their official seal. Eddie is holding that official seal in his hand. And what Deo Vindice meant was literally, under God, our vindicator.
I need to have that on my tombstone.
Under God, our Vindicator. And let me give you a little background about that. The Confederate States of America firmly believed that God was on their side during that war and made repeated proclamations to that effect. Confederate Senator Thomas Sims, in proposing this motto, took pains to stress that the Confederate States of America had deviated in the most emphatic manner from the spirit that presided over the construction of the Constitution of the United States, which is silent on the subject of deity. And he clearly expected this invocation to bring his side victory. So basically what the Confederate Senator Thomas Sims was saying was that basically the founders of this country were too awash in the French Enlightenment, and they didn't give credit to Jesus Christ for the founding of America.
I can second that.
And the Confederacy would not make a similar mistake, so they put in their official seal, "Under God, our Vindicator." The motto was finalized in April of 1863, and that's what it stands for. Now, we don't know, Eddie, God's timing. You know, we do what's right by God, but we don't understand his timing. There's no doubt that the Confederates were on God's side, but they still lost. And so you say, well, how could the Christian side, how could the side that was on God's side, how could the good guys lose when praying for their victory? And the answer is we don't know, because we operate in terms of our own lives, we operate in a very finite time frame, whereas God's vision sees much further and is infinite than ours. And so maybe, well, I say not maybe, but in his infinite wisdom and guidance, God's plan will ultimately unfurl, and perhaps the Confederacy losing was in his divine will, and something much greater will come in our defeat rather than what would have come from our victory. Now, we don't understand that still to this day, but we put our faith in God, as the Confederates did, that under his will all things are done. And Thomas Jackson said that. Stonewall Jackson said, if we resign ourselves to die today, we cannot lose. And that's the way he operated, and that's why the Confederates were so successful in battle.
Well, you know, before I forget, I have a very, very dear friend about it, a friend I've had for over 50 years, and I'm thinking about a question he asked me once. He's a cesspool listener, and he says he thinks that maybe we spend too much time fighting the Civil War, refighting the Civil War. Well, let me tell you, one of the big purposes of this, of our program here, it's of monumental importance. We are trying to educate the people in these here United States about their Southern white Christian roots, and not necessarily Southern. Southern, I've always said, is a state of mind. We're trying to educate all of white Americans in the United States to their Christian roots, and especially here in the South, since we are the political cesspool. And here's why. Karl Marx himself and all the other big-time communists said that if they could just separate the youth from their roots, to abolish out of their mind where they came from, who their ancestors were, they would have them in the palm of their hand. They would control their destiny. And that's why we have to keep talking about where we've come from. And listen, we've got to get back to this as soon as the music is over. As soon as we go take this commercial break,
when we come back, we're going to have a special guest on. But with the special guest, we're still going to generalize why we celebrate Confederate History Month, why perpetuating.
And I will make a comment on what you were talking about, too. But I wanted to work
we're
that in.
Hey, we got the whole hour for Confederate History. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. We have a special guest. You know, you're very lucky in that in the month of April, you get 5 episodes of the Political Cesspool. And I'm not telling you that there's 5 weeks in the month of April, but what I'm telling you is that there's 5 Saturdays in the month of April. And what makes that so special is that, of course, as you know, April is Confederate History Month, so you're going to get 5 weeks of us celebrating the history of the Confederacy and the culture of the South, whereas in most years you might only get 4. And, you know, you go back to our archives over the years. We've been doing this since our very inception, all the way back in 2004. Can you believe the longevity of this show? And we've had so many excellent guests on the show during Confederate History Month, including the curator of Beauvoir, which was, of course, the final home of President Jefferson Davis, the last American president, in my opinion. And we've had the director of the New Market Battlefield. That was the battle in which the Confederates were led by a bunch of kids without shoes, and they routed the Union Army. And we've had Glenn McConnell, the former lieutenant governor of South Carolina, now the president of the College of Charleston. He's been on during Confederate History Month. We've had the president of the Museum of the Confederacy in Richmond, Virginia. We've had Michael Hill, Sam Dixon, Michael Andrew Grissom, who's written such epics as Southern By the Grace of God and The Last Rebel Yell. And so many other Southern luminaries make their way to the Political Cesspool during the month of April. And we have with us now another special guest, Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent. You know, this is one of my favorite websites, and it's a website that I read every day. And the tagline of Occidental Descent is pro-white, pro-South, pro-independence. And it's very congruent with our own tagline, which is pro-Christian, pro-white, pro-South here in the Political Cesspool, in addition to no retreat, no surrender, no apologies. And so we're grateful to have Brad with us tonight. He's a Southern boy just like me, and he's doing great work on all the issues, not just Southern issues, but all the issues. They're covered at OccidentalDescent.com. Brad, thanks for coming on with us tonight in very short notice, as it were.
No problem. Thanks for having me, James.
Well, I'm at your website right now. I'm looking at this incredible equestrian monument with the I don't know. It looks like a castle behind there, but perhaps you could indulge me as to what that is.
I believe that's Jackson Square in New Orleans.
How about that? Well, I'm sure that's under attack, wow. Like the rest of them. But nevertheless, Brad, you know, you cover all the issues in a very similar vein to that which we cover them. But I wanted to have you on tonight, as this is the hour during which the month of April we cover Confederate history. To you, in the year 2016, why is it so important and special to you that you are someone who was born as a Southerner? Why are these issues still relevant so many years after the fall at Appomattox?
Well, you go back, you research the Confederate generation, especially the people who led the secession effort. And what I found is that, you know, beyond the military history aspect of it, once you really get into the arguments that were being shouted back and forth, a lot of the people who were, you know, the earliest secessionists, they had a much broader view than people realized. They were starting to become aware of ethnic differences, how the South was settled by, you know, a different demographic, you know, different ideals. And not just that, but the most, you know, amazing aspect of it to me is that, you know, 2-3 generations into the United States, a lot of Southerners are already starting to see where this is all headed. And so, you know, the anti-slavery movement was, or the abolitionist movement more accurately, was connected to all these radical movements. And it's just amazing. You go back and you read what they were saying. And all their dire predictions, you know, came true about how the government would grow out of control and, you know, regulate everything. And equality would absolutely go, you know, beyond anybody's wildest dreams, to where now, you know, in states like North Carolina, we're arguing whether, you know, major corporations trying to leave the state because over whether transsexuals can use with the women's bathroom. That's the pressing issue of our time in the state of Georgia and in the state of North Carolina and Mississippi too. And it's just amazing how, you know, the early Southern secessionists just absolutely nailed this tendency and where it was ultimately going. I mean, they were far ahead of their time. They saw far, far beyond, you know, just the issue of slavery.
Well, and I want Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, who is co-hosting with me this hour, to chime in on that, because I know he's hot to trot on this and has the bit in his mouth about the unbridling. But, you know, R.L. Dabney, who was Stonewall Jackson's chief of staff and minister, as it were, you know, talked about the conservative movement even of his day, which was so prescient. And I think we made mention of that last week. But, Eddie, I know a lot of what Brad was saying was ringing your bells.
Yes, it was. Brad, it's Eddie the Bombardier Miller here. Glad to have you on board tonight. But, you know, you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to say the same thing, kind of repeat what Solomon said. Solomon once said that what has been is and what is shall be. And there's nothing new under the sun, just as a paraphrase.
Oh, no.
And so the same enemies of Christ and the same enemies of, you know, the American white people, they were still alive. They were the same people that were around when Christ drove the money changers out of the temple to steer of today. And exactly like you said, the anti-slavery movement was hooked up with all these other radical movements back in those days, just like, for instance, Greenpeace, the Green Party nowadays, you know, global warming. The radical globalist communists will get behind any type of movement to lure in the more ignorant of our brethren.
Well, and Brad even mentioned it, the whole transgender thing. Now it's a human right or a civil right for people to pretend to be the opposite gender so they can go in and defile a bathroom of the opposite sex. This is the ludicrousness. It's sheer absurdity of the radical egalitarians that began even in the time of our ancestors who were fighting for the true America as envisioned by our founding fathers in Lincoln's war.
And one more comment before I shut up. And exactly, it's the same thing happened in the First World War. The globalists themselves, the Rockefellers, the J.P. Morgans, all the big international bankers that brought in communism in the Russias and the former Soviet Union, they said that they would work with anybody. They had no qualms of whatsoever working with communists, working with fascists, working with Nazis, working with Satanists. They would work with anyone because they were going to control the narrative. They were going to control whoever won. They didn't care who won because they were going to control them through the money. So that's what we see exactly the same thing.
And we play that clip every year, Eddie, about Stonewall Jackson as portrayed by Stephen Lang in the movie Gods and Generals, talking about what would happen if the North prevailed. And again, everything he thought would happen or feared would happen has happened, and much, much worse.
It's like he had a crystal ball, James.
Well, I mean, and that was the kind of people that we fought with. And fought for, I should say, being the sons of the South. Well, Brad, I want to ask you this before we go to the commercial break. You know, Eddie and I both have ancestors who fought for the South. Certainly you do as well. What does it mean to you? I said it was the equivalent of winning the genetic lottery, but to be born a son, a lineal descendant of Confederates, what does that mean to you personally?
You know, we've been debating all kinds of other issues recently, whether the white race in the South can even sustain itself at this point. And I've recently come across, you know, I've been doing some genealogy information, and I found out recently that my direct ancestor, Thomas Griffin, moved from North Carolina to Alabama in 1840. He had 13 kids. Eight of his sons, fought for the Confederacy, all eight of them. Two daughters
here, here.
In Virginia. And, you know, that's... If that's not a Nietzschean Superman, I don't know what is. We need more.
What does that make?
Those.
Well, no, we do. I tell you, if we had more men like that, we wouldn't be in this predicament that we are. Hey, but at least the South voted for Trump, save Texas. Hey, when we come back, I'll let you expound upon that, Brad. I hear the music playing. You just mentioned your lineal descendant or your lineal ancestor. I want to ask you again what that means to you to come from that stock, that fighting. You know, we are the wild men of the white race, that fighting stock of the Scots-Irish, what that means to you personally.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us. TheAmericanFreedomParty.us. Once again, TheAmericanFreedomParty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, our guest tonight, Brad Griffin, is the man that I've had the opportunity to befriend in recent years, and he's just an incredible force for our movement, and his work at Occidental Descent should not be overlooked. OccidentalDescent.com is the website. He's kind enough from time to time to repost things that I've written. I was commissioned a few months ago to write an article for the Christian webzine faithandheritage.com, a story about my journey to the intersection of Christianity and ethno-nationalism. And Brad wrote this preface: Russell Moore's remark over the summer that the cross cannot coexist with the Confederate flag is instructive. No one living during the war between the states and for well over a century after subscribed to his absurd view that Southern Baptists, a denomination created in the schism over slavery, couldn't coexist with the Confederacy. The truth is that no institution, religious or secular, political or apolitical, can continue to coexist with interests bent on subversion. We're seeing that truth unfold yet again in the University of Missouri. Many of the things which are attributed to inherent flaws in Christianity are really due to the handiwork of interests. The same people who have infiltrated the churches are active in corporate boardrooms, human resource departments, and faculty lounges. Keep that in mind the next time someone bashes Christians in the movement. Now, I talk in that article that he prefaced those remarks with about my Confederate heritage and how proud I am to descend from a line that actually fought for something worth preserving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Brad shares that lineage. But in addition to his Southern heritage and the common ground that we share there, he's sound on all the other issues. And I would strongly encourage you to make OccidentalDescent.com one of your daily reads. Well, anyway, Brad, we were talking before the break about what it means to you. You were sharing the incredible legacy of your ancestors. What does it mean to you to descend from that stock?
It's I don't know. I would say it's, I feel like a duty to carry on what they built. Like I said, my ancestor came here to Southeast Alabama when it was just the wilderness. He had 13 kids, which went on to, you know, have their own, and you know, really just founded, you know, his absolute foundation of this whole area, this whole region. His generation. And that's, I feel a moral obligation to carry on their legacy and to preserve what, you know, not just my ancestor, but all my ancestors after him built in this area. And I think, you know, people today, they just absolutely take for granted everything they have. They don't feel any obligation at all to future generations. And, you know, they don't feel a sense of humbleness to what their ancestors built for them and what they inherited. They're not appreciative enough, I think.
You know, Brad, I'm glad you mentioned one word that's a key word: duty. Duty to your ancestors, duty, honor, country. You see that very rarely now. And we were talking about before the break in the last segment about why programs like the Political Cesspool and why educational outlets like yours are so important, is to educate our people that have been disconnected through the communist education system. They've had their ancestry cut off, severed. Their roots have been cut. They have no idea where they're from. They have no idea of the glory and honor and of the most magnificent race that God ever produced. That's being stamped out by our godless enemy. Thank God for people like you, for the Political Cesspool. We do. Yes, sir. We do owe our very existence to our ancestors. You know, to dishonor him. I mean, who would go out and urinate on their grandparents' grave, their great-grandparents' grave? That's what these people in the
modern... I'll tell you who, Eddie, you asked the question, I'll answer it. Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He has gone out and urinated and defecated on the graves of his ancestors.
He talks about being the descendants of Confederate veterans.
And he could not carry their dirty underwear.
And how all Southerners now should... disavow the Confederacy.
And the why, I'm telling you, I'm going to shut up a minute, but I'm going to tell you, people like Brad and the political suspect, we want all of you young people out there who do not know your history, you are the greatest race God ever made. Every race in this here world has benefited from the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Germanic race. Everyone!
The reason I think that is, Eddie, is because we were the ones who spread Christianity. Now, I know it started with,
yes,
with the Jewish people. There's no doubt about that. But God sent it to the Europeans first. He sent it to Greece.
That's right.
To Macedonia, not to Asia.
Go to the church chapter of Galatians. It'll tell you who a Christian is.
And that's one of the reasons I think that Europeans and Western civilization was able to rise so high was because we embraced Christianity. Now,
and listen, Satan, and last comment, Satan is working against us. We are fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The principalities want to disconnect our youth from where they came from. They want to disconnect our youth from Jesus Christ. And people like Brad and us are trying to fight against this.
You don't have to choose between your faith.
That's right.
And your race.
Our faith and our race is one and the same. You mentioned it, white Christendom.
You don't have to disavow your ancestors in order to be a good Christian, and you don't have to disavow Christianity in order to be
proud
of your history.
I'll go further than that. I'll say if you disavow your ancestors, you have disavowed Christianity, because
your
ancestors were greater Christians than anybody I know.
Go, Brad.
Oh, saying, honor thy father is right there. It's always been a part of it.
Exactly.
It's actually a commandment, one of the ten. Well, anyway, Brad, I want to ask you this. We talk during Confederate History Month every year. We highlight, obviously, the easy names, Lee, Jackson, Forrest, Claiborne. We talked last week about D.S. Job, the Confederate scout who was subjected to horrible cruelty and was murdered by the Yankees because he wouldn't divulge where the troops were. We've talked about she didn't even have a name. We just referred to her as the Southern Boudica, this Confederate woman who fought against the Yankees. There's so many heroes of the Confederacy. I would ask you this, Brad, who would you submit as your favorite of the Confederate heroes, and why?
Well, that's a tough question. I would actually, if I had to single out anybody who doesn't get enough credit, it would be Robert Barnwell Rhett, the great fighter. He was, for decades, sounding the alarm, and maybe if we had seceded in 1850, we would have won. And I think the influence he had in, keeping the secession movement alive in those dark decades when so many people were just didn't want to hear it. That's who's I would call attention to. Everybody knows about the heroism of Lee and Jackson and Forrest. But
Brad, I'm glad you brought that up. I hate to cut in. I'm really passionate about this. I'm glad you talked about your favorites, and James talked about that. I've always told James, I was drafted in 1969, way after the Second War of Independence, but I was a grunt. I was a medic with a grunt unit on the ground pounders. My heroes of the Second War of Independence are the unknown soldiers. Guys you never hear about, the ones who went barefooted, who went days without anything to eat, and who followed the great one and only General Lee, who followed the great one and only General Nathan Bedford Forrest. They followed them to hell on no food, no clothes. They suffered through frostbite. They suffered through impressible heat. And I would like to, and while I'm at it, I'd like to make another comment, and I don't want to dwell on Russell Moore anymore, but I would like to ask how you justify the commandment that Brad brought up, honor thy father and their mother. How are you going to justify that, Robert Moore, big fake Christian?
All right, hang on. He can't. But I would like to say this about unknown Confederate.
Unknown. That's my man.
How about this guy?
Who knows Eddie Miller? Nobody.
How about Levi Smith? Levi Smith was a private in the 4th Battalion of the Mississippi Cavalry, Confederate States of America. Levi Smith, born October 18th, 1840, died September 8th, 1906. He survived the war. You ever heard the name of Levi Smith? That's my great-great-great-grandfather.
That's my hero.
I mean, that's my hero. That is my great-great-great-grandfather buried laid at rest tonight in Corinth, Mississippi. Brad?
I salute that. I salute you, Private Smith.
Yeah, I heard that one. I think I've seen the photo. You showed it to me one time.
I believe I probably have. It's been in a couple of articles that we've put out there. But
yeah,
but anyway.
The name.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I'm honored. That was obviously a maternal name, and once my grandmother married an Edwards, you know, it came to me. But anyway, a final word to you. We only have a few seconds remaining. Anything with regard to the celebration and the reverence of Confederate History Month that you would like to convey to the audience that perhaps we haven't yet touched? And before you answer, I would encourage everyone again to remember OccidentalDescent.com. There you can read all of the thoughts and opinions of Brad Griffin, and they are great every day. Brad?
I haven't been following it all that closely. I know that the Confederate monuments in New Orleans were scheduled to be removed, and I believe there's been some resistance to that. It's actually shut it down.
I have read that, and I hope that resistance will continue. And thank you, my friend, on such short notice for joining us tonight, even for a couple of segments, to share in our celebration and advancement of Confederate History Month. Thank you for being who you are and for standing for our people. Brad Griffin is a hero of the modern generation.
Yes,
he
is.
Right after.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honeydew items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're going to throw a little napalm on this.
Napalm.
We got Eddie DeBombardier Miller in here after all. Well, I want to thank again Brad Griffin, OccidentalDescent.com. Check him out. You know, Brad's so great on so many things. He's written some great articles this week on abortion and eugenics. And it's just great stuff from a Christian Southern perspective. And I salute Brad for that, because you do have a lot of this neo-paganism farce that's asserting itself in the pro-white movement that I think is just ridiculous. If we're going to succeed, if we're going to succeed by advancing the faith of our fathers, the faith of Charles the Hammer Martel, you know, people say Christianity is at fault for the decline of our people. Christianity is the reason our people exist. And Christianity was the West. And we need to re-embrace it. And Brad understands these things. And Brad's just doing a great job. And I salute him. I mean, he's one of my favorite people out there, truly. OccidentalDescent.com. Well,
you know, James, it's not the Christianity's fault. The so-called
Christianity of Russell Moore, we'll take fault with.
That's right.
The real Christianity.
That's exactly right. It's the weak-kneed, the weak-minded people that won't educate themselves to sit around and listen to the Russell Moores of society and the John Hagees of the so-called Baptist movement. Those are the ones that are at fault. You swallow hook, line, and sinker every one of these commie pinko, you know, things out there that, you know, you can't say anything about homosexuality. You have to adopt a black child or you're a racist. You know, it's the people that have let down Christianity. It's not Christianity let down.
We talked about that last week, and there's an exact quote about that. To paraphrase, I don't have it pulled up. We did quote this last week from R.W. Tozer. Christianity is not bringing society to its level. Rather, Christianity is descending society's level and declaring itself victors because society smilingly accepts its surrender, the surrender of the church. And so that's exactly what we've got here. Well, I want to talk about another person I admire very much, and that's Sam Dixon. Basically, anybody named Sam I admire. Sam Bushman, Sam Dixon, they're interchangeable. But as we continue our coverage of
Samuel Adams.
Him too. As we continue our coverage of Confederate History Month 2016, we revisit an extraordinary paper written by Sam Dixon, who is one of our regular on-air guests. You know, even in the Christian schools in the South these days, it's amazing to see the amount of worshipful Lincoln propaganda these days. Sam Dixon helps us set the record straight on Lincoln in his booklet, Shattering the Icon of Abraham Lincoln. The real Lincoln, says Dixon in this punchy source reference booklet, was quite different than the one portrayed in television, school books, and motion pictures. Sam Dixon marshals evidence from throughout his career that shows Abraham Lincoln was a hypocrite, an opportunist, an instigator, and a wager of ruthless war, the nation's first political tyrant.
And he was not a Christian. He did not believe in the divine birth. He did not believe in the Blessed Trinity.
I'm going to get to that. You're stealing thunder now, but you're exactly right. Particularly critical of the 16th president's savage war against the Confederacy, Sam Dixon contends that Lincoln should be regarded as a dangerous forerunner of such liberal collectivists as Franklin Roosevelt. For his own efforts, Sam Dixon had this to say. This is a quote directly from Sam Dixon. The astonishing thing about my booklet on Abraham Lincoln is that it is needed at all or is considered controversial. In my opinion, one does not have to be a scholar to ferret out facets of history to see Lincoln as he truly was. My views on this subject are not unusual. They are those of the overwhelmingly majority of Southerners, both immediately before, during, and for decades after the war between the states. My views were also shared by many in the North and the West. Only the passage of time and the studious cultivation of the myth of Abraham Lincoln, coupled with his timely death, timely in the sense of being providential for his place in history, have caused Lincoln to be raised to the level of a sacred cow in American history. And to that I would simply say, well said, my friend. If you love the South and you want to learn more about the man that Lincoln truly was, then you must read Sam's incredible expose entitled Shattering the Icon of Abraham Lincoln, and wouldn't you just know it, we published it at our website this month during Confederate History Month. And don't forget, the Political Cesspool is the only mainstream talk show in the world that dedicates a portion of each live broadcast during the month of April to the celebration and preservation of Confederate history and heritage. We've used our media venue to celebrate Confederate History Month every year since our inception back in 2004, and a parade of Southern celebrities have found their way to our studio in April, and it's once again our honor this year to present to you our on-air tribute to the South, which will continue in grand fashion all the way through the next couple of weeks and into May, and tonight with Brad Griffin. But you're right, Eddie. As Sam mentions in this expose, he talks about the so-called religion of Abraham Lincoln. Now he's supposed to be this great civil rightist, this great Christian. Number one, he was an atheist. And number one, he hated blacks, which is another thing that people don't remember because of the myth of Lincoln. But I know this. I'm a Christian, and I believe there's a hell. And I believe that there's one person in hell tonight that is burning alive. It is Abraham Lincoln.
Amen to that.
Go.
You know what? I wonder, I'm thinking in a business sense right now, I think we should and this is, I hope people forgive me for going to the crass thing of trying to make money for the cesspool. I want to buy that publication myself. I wonder, you know, if we could get some of our listeners to send
it. Well, it's online.
Donation.
And if you go to our website, you can read it online without even having to do that. Now you can get the paper version for a price, but the whole thing is online. And if you go to our website, you click on the tab Confederate History Month, you'll find Sam Dixon's expose, Shattering the Icon of Abraham Lincoln. And he talks about every aspect of him, including the fact that he was an avowed atheist. But now he's this great Christian emancipator, is a total myth.
The only positive thing I could ever think about to say about Lincoln is he was caught dueling with the international bankers. That's probably what got him killed. But he printed up the greenbacks. That's where the term greenbacks came from. When the Jewish bankers, who, by the way, the same Jewish bankers financed the South and financed the North, and at the end of the war, the Jewish bankers, the reason they took so much umbrage with General Grant and you know President Johnson is because they thought that they would force the South to come up with money to redeem the bonds that they had sold the bankers. The bankers wanted the Southerners to redeem those bonds at the face value.
Money, war is money, and
that's right.
Money drives all wars.
That's right.
We might have to continue.
But Lincoln
this next
was
week.
Evil as hell. He went against the Constitution in every chance he got.
Well, he was a tyrant.
And I know we said this
he
before.
He was horrible. Read the expose at our website. Eddie, you'll remember at our 10-year anniversary, which was a year and a half ago.
God, I love
it. 10-year anniversary celebration of the political cesspool. We sang a version of Dixie during that live broadcast that was the war version of Dixie. And we're going to play that now as we wrap up the show tonight. We might not have time to play it all, but we're going to start rolling now. I want to say thank you to our guest tonight, Brad Griffin, for the entire staff and crew of the Political Cesspool. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week as Confederate History Month rolls on. But listen to this war version of Dixie as we wish you good night. And good night, everybody.
Chills run up our spines. So.
Here it is.
Worse than death before you. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Though all the beacon fires are lighted, let all hearts be now united. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie's land we take our stand, and live or die for Dixie. Two arms, two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Oh, hear the northern thunders mutter, northern flags and south winds flutter. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Sending back your fierce defiance, stamp upon the cursed alliance. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie, hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie's land we take our stand, and live or die for Dixie. Two arms, two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace. Shun no labor, lift up rifle, pike, and saber. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Shoulder pressing close to shoulder, let the odds make each heart bolder. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.